never prayed to you before.
Are you going to be louder or what?
No tongue for it. No one. Not even you will remember if you were good men or bad.
From the diaphragm.
Did you put your diaphragm in?
All that matters is that two stood against many. That's important. Battle pleases you, Krom. So grant me one request. Grant me revenge.
And if you do not listen,
then to hell with you!
You know I'm gonna tap that ass, right?
The Linux Link Tech Show. The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. An hour of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the Linux Link Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Take it away. Apparently, Link and Alan took that Link It Up too seriously.
Link It Up.
Not me. No. I'm here.
Link got the hiv and died.
He's missing in action.
You can hear about it in the post show.
Where is Lincoln?
He had a massive power failure. He called me up and said it sounded like someone blew up the...
Transformer
down the road.
That sucks.
Yeah, he lives around the corner from like one of the substations.
Yeah, he said it sounded like they blew up the substation.
I have the power company like maybe a mile away from my house, and anytime the power goes out by me, man, it's back up like in 5 minutes.
By your house?
By me, yeah.
Yeah, ours comes back pretty fast because we're close to the center city.
Yeah, I know, because I live over in West Easton, so it flickered a couple of times. That's probably what he got nailed with.
Yeah, I had to power up my blog server. It shut down.
Now, where my parents live, out in Center Valley, a deer farts and the power goes out for a week. It's like nobody cares.
My parents have that. It's like the power goes out, and it goes out for like a day.
Ugh.
You go out back behind my parents' house, there's a field, and there's like a line of trees and then another field. And as you walk down the field, you see a power line, and it just goes all the way down towards the ground.
There's a crackle.
And it runs like 8 feet, not even 8 feet, 6 feet off the ground. So you can actually go out there and hang on the power line if you wanted to. And then it just cruises, and it goes back up across the field. Yeah, it's like, whoa, yeah.
Well, now you know how to take somebody out.
Yeah.
So jump, grab.
Dan, you don't have a stupid story when you're like 16?
No, I just noticed it a couple years ago. So long. Because, you know, if that was out there, we would have probably cut it in half and killed ourselves when we were growing up. Yeah.
Over where I lived, there was this big light tower. It was up on a platform. Like, it was maybe 60, 70 feet up. And I think I was about 10 years old, and me and my friends in the neighborhood climbed up the tower. My dad spotted us, man. When I came home, I got
dead.
Beaten. Big mistake.
Yeah. We would have probably... What's that thing where you take a... Like one of those ropes or whatever and you swing down like that? What is that called? Why is that eluding me? If you had a rope going across and you just like wrap...
You mean like what the Marines do?
Yeah, what is that?
I have no clue what it's called. I know what you're doing, but I have no clue what it's called.
We would have done that with it. Freaking retards. Retarded me. Not you guys. I wouldn't call you
Everybody
guys
Everybody has
retarded.
A stupid moment when you're a kid.
So when I called Link, I heard his UPS is beeping in the back. I was like, doot, doot.
You have 10 minutes left.
And you know what? The guy, he's like, oh, the power's out. We'll do Conan Link. Link Man. Oh, the power's out. It's starting to get warm in here. And I'm like, man, I don't have air conditioning in here. I'm just warm all the time. You know, I'm just like bathing a thing of sweat. And he's like, it's starting to get warm in here. It's going to get too hot. I'm like, welcome to my world.
That was one thing we didn't miss with last week's show, not being up here with the heat. I think four guys in this room would have been like murder last week.
Yeah, come to think of it, both you and Link were gone last week. You were at Link's place, weren't you?
No.
You lying bastard.
No, I was at my
That's
house.
That's why he's not. Watch out. All right, let's talk about some technology stuff before we start getting lots of hate mail.
We got actually a lot of good mail this week.
No hate mail by Crom.
No hate mail.
Did you get a chance, Dan, to cut down some of those voicemails that people left us on the ASIC server? There's a couple of them on there. Some guy from Florida, I heard.
No, I did not listen to any voicemail. Did we have voicemail?
Yeah.
I did not listen
you
to any.
You can pull the voicemail.
You got to put that back on so it mails us again.
It does mail us.
No, it doesn't. He turned the notification off.
I turned the notification off.
I usually get them.
Yeah, but that's for the
on the main number. We still get notified.
Oh, I never noticed.
Neither did I. I know I get one when I.
You could set up one for your extension. And that's what I shut off.
You know what? Should I just go over there and we can play some of them?
Why not, man? That's what it's there for.
Let's see.
Oh, now I forget. What is it?
Will it work? Will it not work?
Somebody call and leave a message so it'll...
No, there's one there, man.
Yeah, but I forget what the URL is.
For what? The server?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Go ahead and talk about something while I look through my email to see if...
You guys have listened to the Twitcast, the last one from this past weekend?
Damn, no, I haven't.
Deleted everything.
They were using Gizmo instead of Skype, and I thought it sounded like shit, man. And Dvorak on? I thought it sounded like total crap.
What the hell's Gizmo?
Gizmo is from the people at Linspire. It's supposed to be a competitor to Skype. And right now I think it only runs on Windows. But supposedly they're running out the Linux version, I think, in August.
I was going to say, well, it wouldn't do much good for us because not a Windows can be found.
Not here, anyway.
Yeah.
What else?
I went to the Gizmo site, and I checked this out beforehand. I didn't see anything on there that said it was by the guys from Linspire.
It is.
And that's what I heard that they said on Twit. Now, my problem with that is, I don't understand why this would be, but we've had, Kevin Carmody? Is that his name?
Yeah, Kevin Carmody.
And you hear Michael Robertson, and all they do is they're like, Linspire, bringing Linux to the desktop, greatest thing since sliced bread. Then why is the Linux client for Gizmo not being released till August? And why is there an OS X and a Windows client?
We'll have to ask them the next time we talk to them.
Why is that? Why would...
The only thing I can think of possibly is that the work was being done by another company, and then they just own it or bought it or whatever.
Still.
I agree. It's bullshit.
Oh, it's not right. Not right at all. I think that was... That's here. Here's their message. Let's see if it'll play. Come on.
Is this our first voicemail that we're playing? I think it is.
I can't play it.
Why
not?
Because
it must be some kind of flash-based player, and I'm using PPC.
That's the problem, then. You can ask, why don't you just SSH into the server? Go to the directory with the voicemails on and pull the WAV file. Copy it back to your machine.
Because I'm lazy and I want to bitch about it. And I'm going to go do it from the machine that's hooked up.
Would you like to split this?
No, you can have it.
We're drinking.
You don't work tomorrow.
We're drinking.
The beer of the night is
Creek Lambic Belgian Ale. Fantastic. It's a malt beverage with black cherries at it. Oh, there we go.
Hey, guys, this is Dan in Florida. Just wanted to leave you a message.
When was I there?
I'll let you know that I was listening to actually Lug Radio, and they turned me on to you guys. And just wanted to tell you, have a hell of a show. And I am trying to set up an Asterisk server also, and they're a pain in the ass. So appropriately named. Good luck. Best of luck to you guys in all your future shows, and I'll keep listening.
See you. Thank you, Dan from Florida.
You know, I did listen to that one because that came in like a week ago.
Yeah, it was actually Thursday, I think it came in.
Yeah, something like that.
And then we had one when the server was down. I forget where he was calling from, but he started to ask a question, and I think.
Hey guys, this is Dan in Florida.
Damn it.
Just wanted to leave you a message.
Sorry, that was July 21st. Yeah, it was Thursday.
So if people want to call in and leave some voicemails, we'll play them, man.
Yeah, I. You know what? I was surprised that I think pretty much this whole week the server stayed up.
Yeah.
Not that I really looked, but...
Shh, don't tell anything.
Yeah, I know it went down yesterday when the power went out twice because they turned on the air conditioner in the other room. So I'm sitting there typing away and all of a sudden, boom, everything goes down. I got to run down. come back up, sitting there typing, boom, everything goes down. So I got to get that fixed.
You only get one air conditioner at a time in this house?
In on the same circuit.
Oh, okay.
So I got to, Mark said he was going to come over and, you know, see about it.
Steal some electricity from the
neighbors.
We're going to go over and tap the neighbor's line coming in.
Yeah, just run an extension cord over right through their window. What's that up notice. There? Don't worry about
they
it.
They won't notice.
Do they have any outside plugs? You could do it that way.
Yeah, I could.
Run around the neighborhood with, like, a long extension cord. But we're doing the show tonight. I need power.
Yeah, I need. We need to turn on the air conditioner. Coolness pleases you, Crom. So grant us one request.
The beauty of that movie was, man, Arnold couldn't speak a freaking word of English.
Yeah, grant us air conditioning. And if you do not listen, to the hell with you.
What did you think of the second movie?
I'm a Conan fan. I liked it.
You liked the second one? I liked the second one, too.
Enough talk! Remember that? When they were in the crypt, and they got the horn of Dagon, and they go out, and the priests all came around, and the guards, and the guys, and Mako, and the wizard dude. I forget what his name is, but the character
the guy
who played him was Mako or something. And the other wizard were talking, and then Conan is just looking back and forth, and he goes, enough talk! And he throws a dagger and hits the wizard, and the guy falls. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
It's been so long since I saw those movies. It's like, it's absolutely frightening that you, like, remember them in detail. But
Bombata. You know what I didn't like about the movies, and I'll tell you what. This is what I didn't like about the movies, and then we'll get off the Conan subject to go on to something else. What I didn't like about the movies is, number one, the first Conan movie had Thulsa Doom. Thulsa Doom was not a Conan villain. It was not a Conan character. It was a King Cole character. All right? Not a Conan villain.
Well, you know who you have to thank for that? Oliver Stone. He wrote that screenplay.
I don't care who I have to thank. He was not in the Conan time period that was King Cole. And the second movie, Tothamon is a major wizard, should not have been dispatched so easily. He shouldn't even have showed up. Because they don't even meet until Conan's a king.
Kind of like General Grievous.
Face to face, yeah.
Wheezing and coughing.
But, you know, other than that, and I thought the second movie should have been rated R, because they took out, you know, a lot of the blood and everything.
Yeah,
and
well, what it is, they wanted to tone it down 13. And make it kiddie appropriate.
But, you know what, I take both of those movies any day over to TV series. Did you ever see the TV series?
The German guy?
With Ralph Moliere, I think.
I remember.
Oh, my God.
Pretty bad, right?
Because, you know what? You can't take Conan and make it into Xena.
That's basically what it was, right?
Yeah, because they camped it up and everything. No. That TJ Storm was a guy.
Oh, that one that was on recently.
Yeah, he played the animal guy who would hop around and do it. They should have killed him off in the first episode. And the wizard was the flamiest thing in the world with the skull that would come up out of the pot and go, rah, 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 rah. It's like the Crypt Keeper without a head, and crack jokes at the wizard and make fun of
like,
him.
What the heck? I never watched that one. I just didn't like it from the 5 minutes intermission that I saw of it.
They had that. It was called Hercules. That was the camp.
But you know what? I saw they have the entire run on DVD now. I'll probably pick it up because it's Conan.
Hey, did you read my last blog post? I talked about one of my favorite authors.
I did read your blog post.
Harry Turtledove. He wrote a couple Conan books. Have you ever read any of them?
I stopped reading Conan books after, I think it was like before my senior year. I read all the Robert E. Howard, L. Sprague de Camp, and Lynn Carter first 14 books that came out. I read some of the other ones. I think Robert Jordan was one of the guys that wrote. Maybe not Robert Jordan. I don't know, but I kind of stopped after that. Because I got into doing other things. But no, I haven't.
Turtledove's forte is like alternate history. And he has a bunch of different series that he writes. One of the series is called Great War. And basically what it was the Civil War, the South wins. And then it just, each book is like another 20 years in the timeline. And it's up to like the second book of the world, parallel World War II. And the other series that I've read of his was another one called Great War, whereas during World War II, a bunch of aliens come to Earth.
You know, I was wondering what you said. You posted it today, didn't you?
No, it was last night.
Last night. I wonder. Yeah. Didn't notice it came in until today.
I like the Great War series better. The World War series, you know, the lizards, it started up pretty well, and it got really interesting, but the last couple books have been kind of crappy. That series kind of went down the toilet. He tends to write, like, three, four books at once, And I don't think he does a very good job sometimes. But the Great War series I recommend. That's pretty good. And he has also another one about ancient Rome. You know, what if, you know, the Romans, you know, didn't die out or whatever and the Roman Empire didn't fall. He was a professor of Byzantine history at UCLA. And I like historical stuff, military history. I'm all into that stuff. And I like sci-fi, too, so.
So you like to hang out there by the History Channel?
Oh, I love the History Channel.
TLC. Not TLC anymore. TLC kind of.
The Learning Channel sort of went downhill.
But now it's a baby story. A bride story.
Yeah.
A transsexual story.
Oh, yeah.
It's all pussy shit.
And,
Lifetime, too.
It's like Lifetime, yeah. They have Monster Garage on there. Or is that Discovery Channel?
Yeah, you also have American Choppers on there.
On TLC.
Yeah,
it's Discovery Channel.
That's Discovery Channel.
Have you seen, what is that? Mind Freak.
No, that looks interesting.
Chris Angel.
I never heard of that guy.
He's pretty well-known illusionist now. He does some pretty cool stuff. Interesting.
The guy that everybody knows is David Blaine.
Yeah. I haven't seen much David Blaine recently.
Lately.
But he's, you know, Mind Freak's pretty cool. Check it out. It's on tonight.
It was on tonight?
TiVo it. Or Myth TV it.
Myth TV it.
Myth TV it. It's on tonight. The new episode comes out tonight.
What time?
10:00. So there's another one, I think, around 2:00.
Maybe I'll set
the nice record. Thing about those channels up there, once you start getting into basic cable channels, is they like to repeat the same show 2 or 3 times a week.
2 or 3 times a night.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, oh, they all do that.
Which is nice, because if you miss it the first time, you can get it to
like start. Sci-fi, you know, on Fridays, they repeat all those shows after they're done.
Right. I still haven't watched. I lost the first episode of the new season of Battlestar.
It's really good, man.
So,
Alan, have you seen it?
The Battlestar Galactica? Yeah, I've been recording
last couple
it.
Episodes.
Yeah, I've been recording it and using Link's little script there to record it every week.
You gave up on the TV?
I haven't given up on it. I just, this one actually, to me, looks a little bit better.
Whatever
I think the myth box has to be dedicated.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
On it, you know, as opposed to having my general purpose box do everything. So I'd have to find another, you know, another box to put myth onto. I've got it running. I did have my Xbox as the front end on it, but unfortunately, I had a power failure, and a lot of things didn't come back up right, and the Xbox was one of them. So I've got to reinstall the Linux on the Xbox and then put the front end stuff on there.
So what's happening with the space shuttle, man? Is it going to come back in one piece or what?
Yeah, it will.
Because what happened at the takeoff? They saw debris falling off or something?
It saw debris falling off, and nothing hit it.
Did they check it with a camera like they said they were going to?
Supposedly, yeah. On it, although I don't know what all they've released yet, but supposedly they went over the whole thing with a camera, and there's nothing wrong, I guess. I'm just looking at the picture of the bird that hit the external tank here.
I mean, that's like 1970s technology, basically.
I think it was outdated in 1970.
Yeah.
All those orbiters were outdated when they first flew.
Good, huh?
So you compiling, Dan?
No. I'm waiting for Alan to finish with the space shuttle.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to overtalk you.
Just having, you know, a neat little picture of the bird hitting it.
There's actually a good show that was on History Channel. It's called Soviet Space Disasters. If you get a chance, if you see that record, it's really good, man.
Okay.
Interesting
Modern
stuff.
Modern Marvels.
You watch Modern Marvels?
Sometimes.
I like that. All right. A couple of things. Look at that. It's Clapper. The monitor's on the Clapper. Not the Clap, Alan. The Clapper. Okay. Let's talk about some Linux stuff. Last week, show, if you had stayed on the stream, if you were listening, we had an extended show.
Special bonus section at the end.
Yes. If you downloaded the AUG file, we had the bonus on at the end, but not on the MP3. And there was a posting on hackermedia.net from Kizzle who said, hey, that's a great way to promote AUG by including unedited content. So, you know, we thought about that. I said, hey, that's great. You know, we could promote the AUG file by adding extra stuff at the end. So you never know what we're going to add. Could be our own comments. Could be stuff we recorded previously in the week. Stuff we recorded before the show. It could suck. It could be funny. It could be good. It could be informative. But it's probably definitely not going to be safe for work.
Speaking of which, last week's episode is one of our most downloaded AUG files.
Right. Due to, why was it? I don't know why.
The LaPorte, maybe?
I don't know. I didn't even look at, that's a good point. I should look at the stats.
Yeah, check
at
the stats.
Well, anyway, in the RSS feed, if you signed up for the AUG file, you will get the unedited extra stuff at the end if you're in the MP3.
Too bad.
You're not going
to get it. To hell with you.
To hell with you. So that is one way we are going to promote AUG.
AUG rules, man. It's such so much better than MP3.
It does.
You hear, you know, Alan sitting in the corner scratching his nuts. Dan farting.
So you can write us and complain that your MP3 player doesn't play AUG, and we'll be right there alongside you saying it's true, it doesn't play AUG, because ours doesn't either. But that's the way it goes. AUG all the way.
AUG.
But my iPod doesn't play AUG files. Well, complain to Apple.
Exactly.
And you know, here's a good question.
But I like my iPod.
I was thinking about this today when I went for a run and I was listening. And, you know, iTunes has come in and has, you know, said, jumped on the podcasting bandwagon. And now they're putting podcasting out there. And one of the things that came to my mind, if you're on iTunes, you can use it to download podcasts. And that's great. But I was thinking here, as a Linux podcast, we can't realistically, it's possible through Wine, but we can't run iTunes on Linux. And there's never, according to them, they'll never be able to run iTunes on Linux. So, you know, I had a thought today, it's like, why? You know, maybe we should be pricks and remove our podcast from iTunes because they don't support Linux.
Well, I think at this point we just need the exposure. Let's be honest.
Just a thought.
Well, I checked because actually I do have iTunes running at home. Because,
what?
Well, no, because my wife's iPod Mini, I can't get to sync properly via Linux on it. So I burn everything on CD, and then I pop it over onto the Windows box. It's offline, so it's safe at least as far as Windows goes. But I did turn it on. I did plug it in on it just to look at the podcast and stuff on iTunes. And one, we don't get any of our information on there, actually, besides the show name.
Really?
Well, because I don't think we have any of the tags in there.
Do you even get the episode number?
No, it's gotten...
That's part of the file name.
It's gotten, like, our last five or six shows on there. So it's been doing it for a while. But it doesn't put any show information or authors or anything like that in there. Because I think we've got to modify our RSS feed. To have that happen.
A lot of people have been arguing that Apple's is basically commandeering the whole, you know, RSS feed aggregator thing. They're going to change it to their standard, and everybody else is screwed.
Well, you know what? They could do that. And yeah, if as long as our feed gets validated as RSS compliant, screw iTunes if it doesn't get it. You know, if they're going to go off and do their own thing, I'm going to...
It sounds like they are, man. People are complaining about it.
If they're going to break it, that's going to be their problem.
But again, it's the other thing, though, is, I mean, it's good exposure for us either way on it. But sadly, we're not in the top 100.
I don't think we'll ever be in the top 100.
And if you look at the top 100, a lot of the independents aren't in the top 100.
Makes you wonder.
There's very few. It's a lot of commercial sites that are up there. Which, you know, being it's iTunes, it's Apple and everything, you sort of expect
I read an article that the rankings, the way they're doing it now, it's solely based upon new subscribers for that particular week. That's it.
It's new subscribers for the last 12 hours.
Not even a week, then.
Yeah.
So if everybody would all of a sudden, you know, eventually... See, that's a bad way to make a statistic, isn't it? Really.
It's not accurate.
Because it's not... Because eventually you're going to reach a saturation point, probably. At some time it's going to plateau. And then, you know... We could say, I don't know what the number one is. What is the number one? Is it Daily Source Code?
No. He's like in the 40s.
Okay. Well, let's just say
a lot of the independents aren't in the top 10.
The Apple number one podcast.
It's like, you know, CBS has one, or CNN has a podcast. It's commercial ones that are up there in the top.
All right, so eventually that's going to plateau where all those people who jumped on and now they're using it are going to want to, you know, got those feeds. And now you're going to start having stuff where it's going to be, why are my comic books laying down? I don't know. You're going to have it where, okay, they're listening to those. Those are going to get a lot of things. Then they're going to start migrating towards, you know, like, say, Leo Laporte. You said,
yeah, he's up,
you know,
in like the top 100.
Okay,
he's
so
in top 10 or top 25.
We interview
or so.
Him on our show. He puts a link to the interview. It talks about being on the show, and maybe, you know, 40 people go check out our show, and they
I think it was more than that.
Well, they go to iTunes, and they then that would bump us up ahead of everybody else. At
yeah,
that point, if it was
for
at
that
day. Point, it's not an accurate way to
it's not accurate
to judge subscriptions. What do I care? It's iTunes.
Exactly.
I don't use iTunes. But, you know, I'm looking at the OGG download stats and everything, and not one of these clients, user agents, is iTunes for the OGG file.
Oh, you can go in that deep?
Yeah, they'll pull down the user agent. So.
For the particular file?
No, it's just overall.
iTunes is always high, though. It's like 2 and 3, I think.
But not for the OGG file.
For the
like
MP3.
For the MP3, if I look at it, it's number one. iTunes on Windows. iTunes on Macintosh is number two as a user agent. And then, of course, next is WGET, which I would suspect might be Bashpotter. And then iPodder. And then there's Mozilla and Internet Explorer. Then there's other podcast things. That's just the way it is. So, I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about. But, hey, more power to them. They're rolling right over top of iPodder X. Huh? But what I would like to bring up is a couple of questions in my mind. Maybe some of our audience members might know this. I was listening to old episodes of Twit because we had Leo on, and I was interested in listening to some Twit. And I listened to the episode right before the Apple Developers Conference and the episode the day after. Did you listen to those two?
That was like one of the first two, right?
I don't know. But
they're sitting in a bar talking?
Yeah, the second one. And they had talked about, you know, of course, the Apple move to Intel architecture. And one thing that I kept hearing, and I've heard this in other places, but I haven't kept up on too much news because, you know, hey, we all know they're moving to the Intel processor. Yeah, it's old news, yeah. Be interested to see how it goes. Anyway, what I was thinking is you have a lot of people saying what's going to benefit Apple for this and what's going to make it easier to run software, that now all they have to do is check a button. Because it's all running on Intel, it's all going to be, you know, it's just a matter of just, you know, recompiling the software. It's going to run on the same architecture. It shouldn't be that hard. You're like, oh, it's no problem at all to recompile the software because it's running on the same architecture, run for Windows or for Apple. And my question is, okay, if it is that easy, right, if it is that easy to recompile something like Adobe Photoshop to run on the Intel architecture, and they say now for Apple for Intel, now they say it's going to make it a lot easier for development because now they have the same architecture. It's not going to be that much more difficult. Why isn't that the same way for Linux? Is it because it's not really that easy, which is what I suspect, or is it because, yeah, it is kind of that easy, but they don't want to do it? Why all of a sudden when Apple comes marching into the game here, it's like, oh, it's nothing.
That's because they have money to pay developers to do the freaking grunt work to get it done. And they have all the access to the APIs and all the source code and whatever.
But they don't have access to the Windows APIs. What I'm saying is, you know, if it is that easy.
Some of them do, actually. Like third-party software companies, they have agreements with Microsoft or Apple or whoever to get all the API and all the guidelines and all the manuals to code for that stuff. They have agreements where, you know, they can develop as third party developers. They have access to all that stuff, you know, before anybody else does.
Right, but I'm not talking about just the Apple developers. I'm talking about the people over at like Macromedia at Adobe. Okay. What I keep hearing people saying is it's just a matter of, now that it's moved, they're all going to be on the same architecture, it's going to make it so much easier to develop. And again, like I say, why isn't it? Why, if it's that easy, why do we always hear, well, then, you know, all these horror stories about having to recompile everything for Linux? Or FreeBSD. Or anything that runs on Intel architecture, for that matter. I don't think it could be that easy, but that's some of the stuff that I heard.
It's probably not simple, but it's not ridiculously complex to do, and they have the money to pay the developers to go out and do it. Okay, it takes so much effort to get it done, and they have enough clout and money to get it done fairly quickly. You know, it's probably the same effort to do it in Linux. You know, but nobody wants to step up and freaking do it. That's what it really boils down to.
Maybe that's the case. Maybe other listeners have opinions. I'd be interested to know. And another thing,
do we want to Skype in Link here?
Is he complaining?
No, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, we'll Skype him when he says he wants me to Skype him.
Is he on the...
I don't know if he's ready to be Skyped in.
Is he in the IRC room?
He's in the IRC now. Anyway, on another note to this, another thing that I was thinking about today, and I don't know if this has been mentioned before, but I was thinking, you know, moving to the Intel architecture, we all speculated is not going to be a big difference for Apple.
Skype me, bitch.
It's not going to make a damn bit of difference for Apple, right? Because I really didn't see their...
It would make a difference if they had it run on, you know, a plain old beige box. Then it would make a big difference.
We talked about it, but they're not going to do that. They have said they're not going to make it run in a plain old beige box. But I thought about this. I thought, there is a way it could make a difference. And there is a way that they could do this that it would make a difference. If, and I said, wait, who's going to buy a dual boot machine with OS X and Windows? It sounds ridiculous, but not really. All right, because Apple's a hardware company, and they don't give a damn about their OS X really that much. I mean, it's there.
That's what they say.
It's there to sell their hardware. Okay,
I still want
the software. The software that makes money for them, if at all, it would be the iTunes stuff. They strip that out. They sell it separately. Okay, all that stuff, the iLife stuff, they sell separately. But they're not really concerned so much about. I mean, it's a great operating system, and it's a draw to run Apple. But they're more concerned about the hardware. So, and given that. It would be nothing for them, you know, to take their hardware, sell it at the same price as what a Dell, if they could afford it, maybe a little more expensive, include Windows on it, because, you know, it's probably not going to be that much more. And instead of having a dual boot machine, run it kind of like, what is it, Box or UMA, User Mode Linux would be, where you can run the actual operating system inside.
You just open up a window and fire it up.
Like Mac on Linux or anything. Right. Or have it to a point where you can run the Windows applications, kind of like Wine would do, and it would run the API on top of OS X. So they could license the window and run it from within OS X. So you wouldn't know, really. You wouldn't have to, like, quote, boot into Windows to run this, but have it run outside. I mean, it's possible they could pull something like that off. And at that point, Windows doesn't lose much in the way it shares because they're still selling their OS. They're still selling their software. You know, right now, as far as I know, Microsoft is not planning on releasing another version of Internet Explorer for Apple. There's question as to whether they're going to continue on with Office for Apple. There's still a question of whether there's going to be a Windows Media Player for Apple anymore, new versions of that. So, I mean, it would make a lot of sense if they would partner in such a way. And that could really be, you know, devastating to the PC market. That would flush more people towards purchasing an Apple. Because look, if you can get the stability of Apple, the security of Apple, and still be able to run your native Windows 32 applications and get the best of both worlds, that would be great. Now, I don't know the technical difficulties of doing that. I mean, they got to be pretty huge. But again, it's something that Apple and Microsoft could work together on. I know they have no love for each other, but Apple's a hardware company. Apple takes their hardware, offers a, you know, better system, has Microsoft run underneath it or alongside of it. Maybe it would do something. Maybe they would make a huge impact. Kind of makes sense to me, but hey, who am I? Just a thought. Maybe somebody else has brought that up. Like I said, I'm
sure it's been beaten to death.
I have not kept up too much, but that's some of the stuff I thought about as I listened to the olden days of podcasts.
They haven't announced, you know, what their sales have been lately, Apple. I'm curious to see, you know, who's are people actually going out and getting PPC machines, you know, still.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Link.
Well, let me clear something up. I didn't say that Apple cares what OS X runs on. They care more about the hardware. They're not going to take their OS X and sell it separately for, you know, generic machines. They're more interested in selling hardware. OS X pulls the people towards the hardware. There are applications that run on it are of a draw. And if you can get Windows to integrate seamlessly into the Apple environment where you don't have to do a separate boot. Like when I think of a dual boot system, it's like I got to reboot reboot from Linux into Windows, Windows into Linux, or something like that. If they could do it like Mac on Linux runs, or Pear PC, I think, is another one, Box, UML, user mode Linux that it runs inside, or some kind of or almost like I said, Wine. It would be interesting. What do you think, Link?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Is this like the Mac show tonight?
Yeah, it's the OS X show. No, I, what I had said is I listened to a couple old podcasts, Twit podcasts, and about when they were talking about the Apple Developer Conference where they announced they would run OS X. Apple is going to move to an Intel processor. And I said one of the things that I thought about, which would make a dent, I thought, in Apple making a dent in the PC market, was if in some way they were able to run the Windows API inside of OS X, so that when you bought a new Apple machine with the Intel processor, you get OS X, but you'd also get like a copy of Windows with it. It would be in there and integrated in that you could run the Windows applications through the OS X, kind of like you'd run Mac on Linux or Box or even do like a Wine application. But,
well, they already had that with the old Mac OSs, right? They had a Windows emulator program you could run inside.
Right. It would be it was called Virtual PC, and that's owned by Microsoft.
That's it, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, instead of having you to run inside of like a separate window, we have it just integrated into the OS X operating
system.
Because
it's on the same architecture.
Yeah. Because one of the things that people keep saying is because Apple has moved to the Intel processor, running on the same processor, close to the same architecture, it's going to be no problem coding applications for Windows and for Apple because they're running on the same architecture. Now, I think that's, you know, there's got to be more to the story of that, because if that was that easy, why can't they do the same thing with Linux? Because it runs on the same architecture. Is it
right,
that
that's not that easy at all. In fact, they had Windows NT was released for PPC quite a few years ago.
Right, I remember seeing that on the box.
Yeah, you didn't see that kind of thing happening then, and it won't happen now either. What you will see probably is when Apple debuted their Intel decision, they said that, you know, it's the same. It said that they'd be able to run Windows on the same kind of computer. So you might be having dual boot situations like that where they're actually running Apple's Mac OS X and Windows in a dual boot or something. But I doubt that they'll have a cross-platform API, because if they did, they'd be, you know, losing money somewhere.
That's my thoughts. And that's all the thoughts I have on that.
Only time will tell.
We'll have to see what happens. That makes me cry.
Boo-hoo.
Well, you're the only Macophile over here.
I have my OS X. I like it. I don't like it as much as Linux. I prefer Linux.
What is it that you don't like about it?
I
The pressure's on.
All right.
Dane sweats it out.
Sweat it out.
That's not hard in here.
Yeah, you're telling me. All right, I can run.
It's not hard over here either when the air conditioning just turned on after 4 hours.
Yeah. In the sweat box over here. Yes, I can run a lot of the applications that I run on my Linux. I can run Inkscape. I can run Scribus. I can run a whole bunch of different applications on here, on my OS X, but I have to use, except for Scribus now, which is releasing a native OS X port, I have to use the X server. And the X server is a lot slower than using the Aqua interface.
For like GIMP.
Right, for GIMP or for anything
Open
like
Office.
That. Right. I'm not too happy with the layout of OS X. You know, just a graphical interface. I like to use a different one. But, I mean, I'm not sure that you can really change their interface. I can use X,
and use a window manager. Like I could probably get Flux. I don't know if I get Fluxbox. I know I have Window Maker on there. I can run GNOME. I think you can even run KDE on there. But then I'm running an X. I'm not running an Aqua. So Aqua programs aren't going to launch in X, and X programs don't launch in Aqua. So if I want to run those applications that I like to run, I have to use X, which is a little slower. It takes up more resources. Compiling stuff, you know, applications that I would want to use Inkscape is a pain in the ass. I either have to use Fink or Darwin ports. And, I mean, they're good, but it's kind of like Gen 2 with Darwin ports. Every time I want to get something, I have to recompile the entire world almost. You know, if I want to upgrade, it's, you know, my machine's going to be out of commission for
so it's a bit of a hassle.
Half a day at least.
For the applications that you're used to using, it's a hassle to run them, basically.
Right. So that's just my opinion. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of nice things about Aqua. I find myself using more and more of the applications I use on my Linux box on here. So instead of using Adobe Illustrator, I'll go for Inkscape or Soddy Potty or, you know, use Scribus for more things. Instead of using Dreamweaver, I prefer to use just a text editor or Bluefish or,
let me
you know,
ask a question, Dan.
Sometimes NVU. What?
When you are using Mac OS X, do you find that the OS X apps are slower than their comparable Linux apps?
You have to give me more of an example. Like, what do you mean? What are we comparing?
I don't know. Pick something. Like, pick Star Office version or Open Office versus the what's the Darwin port of Open Office called?
NeoOffice.
There you go.
NeoOffice, I have found to be about on par with OpenOffice. It's the initial startup that seems to take forever, but once they're both open and running, they seem to run pretty smooth. It's tough to compare because I think NeoOffice is built more off of 2.0. What OpenOffice 2.0 is going to be, and the OpenOffice for Mac is still only running 1.12, I believe.
How about for, like, general purpose apps, say a terminal, right? You open up a terminal in Darwin, is it slower than opening up a terminal under X, you know, running Fluxbox or something like that?
Terminal, I've seen, it's about the same, I have seen, for me, that I have noticed. It's pretty much about the same. Maybe a hair slower. The Apple's terminal is a little more beefy than the terminal. Like, I use A-Term. I think it's a little beefier than that. But I haven't noticed any sluggishness or slowness. Why do you ask?
Because I was just on the IRC. One of the fellas, Kent, was saying, you know, Aqua is better than anything Linux. And I said, well, and he said, it looks really good. And I said, well, you know, when I'm using my computer, I'm not using my computer for it to look good. I'm using it so that I can do stuff on it. And for that, what I really want is speed. And every time I try using Aqua and OS X, you know, on the same hardware from OS X to Linux, I find that the Linux stuff with like the window managers that I use, which would be something like Fluxbox, Linux is a lot snappier. And I'm one of those guys that, you know, I might have 15 different terminals open or something like that doing programming, and I get really irritated when I click to open up another terminal and it takes a second. You know what I mean? I got to have it right then. So that's one of my big things. I really like to have a snappy feel with my computer environment, I guess.
I have not. Now, I will notice, since I'm running a PowerBook, and if I start running a lot of applications, things might slow down a little bit. I mean, but particularly with the terminal, I've not noticed a problem. The slowdowns that I see have more to do with the load times than the actual running of the applications. And particularly if I fire up the GIMP, it has to load X, the X server, and then GIMP will load in. Sometimes GIMP can take, I've noticed, take it forever to load in. It seemed like it was crashed or whatever. But the GIMP actually, I think, loads a little faster than any of the Adobe, like Adobe Photoshop. Because that thing, it seems to load for days. So if I were to run start up the X server and run Inkscape will load a hell of a lot faster than PageMaker will. Now, you know, granted, PageMaker has a lot more features, I'm saying. It depends on the app. Again, if I were to say Dreamweaver would take a lot longer to open up than NVU, but there's not really much of a comparison there because they're completely different apps, and Dreamweaver has a lot more features. Still,
There still is a comparison, though, because I'll tell you what, if I want to edit a simple text file, I can either open up Emacs or I can open up VI. Now, I'll choose VI every time because, like, it takes an hour to open Emacs up, you know what I mean, comparatively speaking. But it depends on what you're going to use it for. You don't need to have a program that does every whiz-bang thing in the world to get your work done if you don't use those features. So.
Right. Well, again, it's hard for me to compare because if I would take a look and say how fast does it take OpenOffice or NeoOffice to pop up on my OS X machine compared to what it does on my Linux box over here, we're not comparing apples to oranges.
I got a good comparison.
What?
How about encoding the same WAV file in OS X and what are you running on there, Ubuntu?
Yeah.
Same file in Ubuntu on the same machine.
I don't know. I never did it.
You should try it. Encode a video file.
Maybe we'll. I don't have anything to encode a video file on OS or on Ubuntu. I didn't load any of those packages. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I don't like Aqua. I think it has a lot of good perks, especially with the integrated OpenGL. 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 OpenGPL. OpenGL. I mean, it comes down to, I guess, taste.
I have to say it's a very pretty interface. and it does one thing really, really well. It's a big problem with, in my opinion, thus far for non-geeks, quote-unquote, and that's everything is integrated very well.
It is. It's very well integrated. I don't... I guess we're going to end up going down this route about integration and ease of use. And while I find OS X is very easy to use, I notice that a lot of people, and again, I'd have to step out of my geek costume here and go into the trainings I've done.
Everybody watch out. That means he's taking his pants off again.
Look at Alan's got his mouth open.
No, not really.
His pants by his ankle.
All right. And when I have trained people who are, where I work, who are primarily Windows users to use OS X, they do not find the interface easy to use at all.
It's because they're not familiar with it. That's
right. Contrary to what Apple believes or wants to tell you, they do not. They have a hell of a time trying to use this interface. First problem that they have is actually getting their applications because they're used to either seeing a link on the desktop or going to the start menu for this. Well, now that if it's not down in the dock, they have to go to the applications folder. So, granted, it's not that hard if you start poking around, but that just blows them away. So they tend to want to shy away from the OS X as opposed to Windows. Second thing that they don't seem to like is the fact that on Windows, they're so used to My Computer, and when we tell them save their stuff to their home directory on the server, they go find their H drive. There aren't any drive letters in OS X, okay? Now, sure, when you plug in a device or you connect to a server share, it has a little link on a shortcut on the desktop that pops up. They don't understand that. They don't understand that at all. So, you know, and again, it just comes down to what they're accustomed to.
Exactly, familiarity. That's all it is, man.
So, I mean, sure, you could say that OS X has got an easy interface, but if people aren't familiar with approaching it that way, it's not going to be easy.
They've got to relearn everything, basically.
Right.
Same thing when they go to Linux.
You know, when you come to Linux. Now, a lot of things that I hear people who go from Windows to Linux like KDE, because it's very, you know, has a lot of familiarity. It's a bridge there. There's a lot of stuff. Or ICE Window Manager. They don't like GNOME, because GNOME puts the menu up at the top. They don't like that. It's not where they expect it to be. They don't like Window Maker because that makes no freaking sense. They don't like Window Maker. They don't like Fluxbox. Because that just told, you know, I gave my wife.
I don't like Window Maker because it makes no sense.
I love Window Maker. Like, I have my wife.
Because it makes no sense.
I had my wife on Window. See, I was stupid. I had my wife on Window Maker when I first, because it was faster.
She didn't like it.
I like Window Maker. Everybody's got to like Window Maker.
She hated it.
And she used it. But, you know, when she wanted to go use an application, if it wasn't in the menu, it was hard to find.
See, I had my wife using KDE. She was fine with it.
Yeah, my wife's fine with it, too.
See, now my wife uses GNOME, and she's fine with that, too.
I mean, GNOME is not that hard once you sit down, if you take the time to look and use it. Same with OS X. It's not hard at all. Or, you know, God forbid, Windows.
You're just
going to
relearn a few things here and there. That's all it is.
But majority of people don't want to, and they don't want to.
Lazy ass.
Once you get out of their comfort zone, they don't like that. And, you know, we've gotten a...
Just take the Windows away, you put on Ubuntu, and say, this is where you find it.
You know, and
my mother can use it, so can anyone else.
Speaking of which, my dad finally got a DSL connection. I give him a month before he starts asking for help.
And that's, you know, one thing that
well,
we got to understand.
You take the Nopix CD and you put it in the CD drive and you just don't tell him. And it'll just keep booting up in this nice interface that he can use.
And he has no firewall.
Now, I have my OS X box.
He's not going to be asking for help. He's going to be asking for you to rebuild the system.
Reinstall Windows.
I have my OS X laptop.
I've done that twice this week. I'm not even an IT
similar
person.
Similar to the way I have Fluxbox set up. I don't use the dock. I use something called Quicksilver. Tab Shift. Or Apple Shift, I type in the first few letters of the application, hit Enter, and it runs. Do the same thing with Fluxbox, with the FB Run. Have it set up that way. Now, if I sit down and have to use another OS X machine that's set up the way Apple wants it to be set up, I hate it. It's too slow for me. It's dog slow. I don't like it. I don't like the interface. That's just me. That's me. Not Alan.
No.
Alan uses KDE.
Not all my machines, yes.
Alan's a punk.
I like KDE.
It just works nicely for me.
It's
so
okay. KDE's fine. I use KDE, too. I also like XFCE, too. They're both nice in their own way, you know?
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, we get a lot of email the past week about some of the stuff. And I'm hearing constantly about the user interface in Linux. And do you guys listen to the Linux user show?
Yeah. They got Kelly Penguin Girl on
Kelly
there.
Penguin Girl.
She's like the newbie character.
Right.
They actually mentioned you, and they said Dan N. the last episode. I don't
yes.
know if you heard it.
I know. I did listen to it. And it's true, because if you read my blog, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
And he responded to you, John.
Right. He did. He did. And I thought that, you know, a lot of times we hear these people saying, you know, this is why Linux is never going to make it on a desktop. And what she had basically said was K3B was, you know, pretty easy to figure out how to use, largely because she was used to using the burning software that was in Windows, CD Creator or Nero.
Or Nero.
And she said, what would have made this thing a whole lot easier if there were wizards in there? And my first response was,
no.
Read the freaking manual.
Yeah, no, you don't need that.
You don't need wizards. You don't even need CD records. All you would need.
But then you changed your mind.
Well, then I said, you know, well, wait a minute. She's got a point there. How hard would
you
it be?
You flip-flopper, Dan.
Yeah, that's it. I flip-flopped. How hard would it be to just throw a wizard in there? I mean, we're always talking about documentation and making it easier for people to use, but why not throw a wizard? I mean, I'm not going to use the wizard, but maybe my
wife... Why not just click on the help menu?
You could, but she said a lot of people on the Windows side of things are used to having a wizard that pops up and says, do you want to do this, this, or this?
Okay, but here's my point with that, right? And I read your post about that, and I agree with it mostly except for this one thing. Why is it that if you're a Windows person, that you all of a sudden have lost your ability to learn anything new or perhaps read the damn menu? You know, does every fucking program out there have to be the same as it is in Windows? No. Learn something new, for crying out loud. You know, this is not... The programs, a lot of the nice GUI programs that we have under Linux... They're not. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to use them. You know, just look at them.
I don't think hardly any of them take a rocket scientist.
Well, Cintillera.
No, until you get to, like, configuring
Cintillera.
But
well, yeah,
Windows, if you're a Windows user coming from Windows to Linux, you automatically assume that, well, anything on Linux has to be just like it is on Windows. Well, Windows isn't like Linux, but that doesn't make Linux hard to use. It just means that you might have to actually
learn
look
something.
At the application,
yep.
You know?
Learn something it's, new.
Right.
But see, then that's the crux of it. People don't want to learn.
Yeah, but if they get a new Windows app that they haven't seen before, they have to learn that app. So why can't they learn a different app on Linux? It's just it's a crutch, you know?
They'd rather
something to complain about.
They'd rather spend $100 every,
well, yeah, I think
every
it's
year.
More, I think it's more along the lines of it's something to complain about at times, too.
Right, something
it's
to complain about.
Well, it's true. It's true. $100 a year, they'd rather spend $100 a year. Because they don't, you know, it comes down to, am I going to sit here and try and figure out how to use this application, or am I going to go over here and use Windows on the application that I'm used to?
Yeah, but that's only good if you have that application under Windows. You know what I mean?
They go with what they know and what's easy to them.
If they don't know it under Windows, it's just as hard for them to learn as if they don't know it under Linux. In some cases, the Linux applications, I think, are easier than some of the Windows applications.
And it's true. And, you know, as long there have been cases, you know, in the documentation. As long as that documentation is kept up to date.
Oh, like asterisks.
Or, you know, if it's accurate, because I'll give you a clear example. I went in, you know, this week. I installed Ubuntu on my main workstation. I had a fight with that. We'll get to that in a little bit.
You got rid of Debian?
But, no, it's still on there, but I'm just using. I had 30 gigs, and I figured I wanted to. I'll get to that in a little bit. But anyway, here we go. We got Ubuntu on here. And I say, okay. Some guy had asked a question on the Ubuntu forum is, how do I, you know, is it possible to start an application on a different desktop than the one you're on? Which prompted me to think, well, let me check out, you know, let me do something, play around with this. Well, how come I can't edit the menu in Ubuntu? So I go to the help feature to look at how do I can edit the menu, and it tells me, go to here, find the desktop preferences for the menu, and blah, blah, blah. So I follow those steps. It's not there.
Didn't work.
What they're telling me in the help file does not exist on the desktop.
It was the old version.
And what I later learned is doing some more searching on this is because, oh, that the help documentation is not caught up with the fact that GNOME 2.6.10 does not have that capability to edit the menu yet. You can't do it yet through GNOME. It's going to be in a future release of GNOME, but it doesn't there.
That's annoying.
It was in there previously, but now it's gone. And the documentation tells you how to do it the old way. So, you know, there's a huge problem there. Yeah. That should not be.
Keeping the documentation is a pretty major task.
It is a major task. And personally, I think a distribution like Ubuntu, they do a fantastic job. But if they're gearing this to be a desktop distribution and be easy to use, you know,
they need to
for
be
general
on top
users,
of it.
That's one thing they really need to be on top of, is something like that. And, you know, we could say, hey, why didn't the GNOME developers think of this? Why didn't, you know, but it all comes down to somebody dropped the ball there. And the only people that paired are new people that come in and get frustrated and want to throw it right off their system. Now, and it's not another thing that's really frustrating is when you click on the documentation and it says it doesn't exist yet.
Right.
That's a huge problem. And I can sit here and bitch about it all I want. I go out there and write documentation for people. But I think, hey.
Yes, indeed. But you know what? It's a whole hell of a lot easier if you're the developer who's writing the documentation, who knows what the hell the features are, as it is for some external person to go and follow up after you and figure out what all the buttons are and how to do things, you know?
And you're right there, but on the flip side, writing documentation is not the exciting thing to do.
No, it's not.
But it has to be done.
I mean, it does. It has to be done. And make a wiki, I don't know.
So why'd you switch to Ubuntu? What was the whole drive behind this?
What was the whole drive behind switching to Ubuntu? A game, called Legends that was posted, I think, on the forum. I wanted to check it out. And the dingus here didn't actually, again, I should have read the effing manual. I fired this up and it said that it was looking for libSDL 1.3. I had 1.2 on Debian. I was not at all dissatisfied with Debian. But I said to myself, you know, that plus playing with PityV, I wanted to play with PityV, and hearing that the people who are playing with PityV are using Ubuntu, and Ubuntu's based off of Debian.
Unstable.
And
testing mix.
So, and I'm running testing, and I said, I got a really stable Debian system running testing. I like everything about it. It runs really great. I like to try a more updated version because it is a little out of date. Okay, I admit that. So I said, I can either push this machine up to unstable and maybe stuff is going to start breaking, or I have 30 gigs
for it. It does break. I was running Debian unstable for about a year, and occasionally things would break if you did like an upgrade on a package. It would break things
right.
Occasionally.
So I figured I'll try, instead of me messing up my good system, I'll play around with Ubuntu. I like it on the PPC. Everybody loves Ubuntu. Let's see where I can go with that. So I do my Ubuntu install. Took me about, and that is what I post on my blog. In the hour it took me to do the Ubuntu install, or hour, 2 hours, whatever it was, I had gotten from a fresh install all the way up to having my system just practically back to where at the point it was with my Debian. All the packages, a lot of packages I wanted. The first hurdle I ran into is I made the mistake of doing this like a day after they upgraded Firefox and broke Firefox and Ubuntu massively, which really pissed me off.
Which version? What is it, the 106?
No, they. I, from
they
what I heard,
104, and they haven't upgraded past 104 yet.
They did. It was 102 when I went on there when I did the install, and then the new version I think bumped up to 104. It was 104. But I think they built it off of like part of 105 API. They did something screwy. What ended up happening was, and this is well documented on the forums, you get crazy things like if you would click a link to download some. Like a software or something, so Source Tarball, nothing would happen. You'd have to right-click on it and select Save Link As. If you opened up numerous tabs, you go to close one tab, it would shut down the whole browser.
That's pretty damn annoying.
Yeah, it was very annoying. So my first inclination was, I wonder what's going on, maybe. Because what I did is basically, I did my install, I copied my stuff over from my Debian machine, preferences, kept my Firefox, like I did with Slackware. I took my Firefox preferences from Slackware, everything just copied over, worked fine. So I did that, so I figured, chances are something's borked here. Probably my extensions or a preference. I moved it out. I started with a fresh, clean slate. I went to go get my favorite extensions. First thing that pops up, it says, you cannot get any extensions because the version of Firefox you're using, that Ubuntu package, is broken. You can't get any extensions.
At least they told you.
Yeah, so at that point, I was about to throw in the bag. I went to get transcode. I couldn't get transcode. I couldn't get MJPEG tools. There was no way I was going to get Cinelera because they don't have it. I mean, I had basically up to the point I had where I was with Debian. It wasn't, I noticed it was just a hair less responsive than my Debian system.
You were running Debian with Fluxbox, right?
Right, but I was using Ubuntu with GNOME at the time. It was a little bit slower. It's a little quirkier, so I figured, to hell with this. I'm going to try Fedora, right? Firefox isn't working. They broke it. Screw them. I'm going to go Fedora. I downloaded the four Fedora Core 4 CDs, and then I sat there and I said, what the hell kind of noob am I, right? Why am I just going to throw Ubuntu out the window and go to Fedora, a Red Hat distribution, and I hate Red Hat? Right, that's just me personally. I don't like Red Hat. People post, was it Snarkout, I think, or somebody I'm posted on my blog said, you are not going to like Fedora. No way, you're not going to like it. And I thought, if Firefox is broken,
it's got on it now, but
if Firefox is broken, why the hell don't I just fix it and grab the latest Firefox for myself? And I did that. And ever since I did that, I've had a better relationship with my Ubuntu box. I found the right repository for transcode and MJPEG. I got everything back up to where I was. It's just Cinelera is the next one, and I need to install for myself the Cinelera packages. Now, I have noticed...
Here's a couple questions for you.
What?
You said it took 2 hours for you to get your Ubuntu install up to the same point it was for you to up to the same point you had your Debian unstable install, right?
Debian testing, and it was pretty much about 2 hours.
Okay, now how long did it take you to get Debian testing up to that point?
I don't know, a couple days.
You don't think that's a little odd? It takes you 2 days to get Debian up to where you like it, and it takes you 2 hours to get Ubuntu up to where you like it?
It was because once I did it in Debian, I knew exactly what I needed to do for Ubuntu. that was that whole learning curve of finding the right repositories and everything and learning apt-get. What I have noticed between Ubuntu and Debian is there's far more Debian packages than Ubuntu.
Sure.
And I wanted a game, which I really liked, called Hullet's Castle, which wasn't available for Ubuntu. And I found out why it's not good to install Debian packages on Ubuntu systems, just straight Debian. Because what happened was when I installed Hullet's Castle, I had to force it. Because even though I had the dependencies, the name, and it, this was brought up, I think, by, was it by Ian or somebody else?
Yeah,
the dependency package, even though it was the same package, for Ubuntu, it has...
It's not compiled in there.
Right, it has the UBUNTU in the name, but in Debian it doesn't have Ubuntu in the name. So it was complaining, even though the package was there, it wasn't named the same thing that it was looking for. So now, you know, that's a problem, and it hem and hawed. Every time I wanted to use apt-get then, it would tell me there's failed dependencies, you know, and there's a problem. When I went to run Synaptic, it wouldn't let me update until I fixed that problem. So I said, to hell with it, I had to force remove the package, and then everything was fine. I didn't hose anything on my system because I knew exactly what I needed to run that package, and I already had it, but it was a Debian package as opposed to Ubuntu. So, you know, that's a downside. I mean, now, ever since Friday, I think it was Saturday night or Sunday, early Sunday, they fixed the Firefox package in Ubuntu. But I just happened to get on at a really bad time. And that was a problem. You were going to say, Link, more complaints?
No, I was just curious as to how long it took you to get your Debian system to where you like it and how long it took you to get Ubuntu up there.
Yeah, that's like I said, it's a tough comparison because, you know, being able the total time I spent Friday night before I almost threw in the towel was 6 hours.
That's a lot of time.
It was. It was a lot of time just playing around, doing stuff.
Something up and running a little bit there.
Like, I did an upgrade of my blog server, which is running Debian, and I just did, you know, I didn't do a dist upgrade. I just did upgrade all packages.
Uh-huh.
Took like maybe an hour. Ran fine, no problems.
And, you know, the whole reason I did this was to try out that one game. And to try out Pity V. And none of those applications, they still don't work.
They don't work? What's the matter with them?
Legends, I keep getting Segfault errors on. I don't know why. I'm going to have to post to their forum. I started playing around with that tonight. The other thing with Pity V is that is so... it's still in alpha phase. I have no idea how to actually use it because there isn't any documentation yet. And they're still saying they're not going to have a release until like maybe the fall. And every time I run that, I get some funky message. Here, I'll show you what it is. I believe I have it installed. It might be because I don't know anything about GStreamer, and I need to learn GStreamer. No, you'll see it over there. What I get is when I run PityV, and I have all the dependencies, the error message I get is error none type object has no attribute connect. I'm not exactly sure what that means. I got to do research on it.
No, the whole thing with PityV, what is it?
PityV.
PityV, it's built on GStreamer framework. It's supposed to be built upon it, right?
GStreamer. It's built upon the GStreamer framework, and it's going to be an easy-to-use video editor for Linux. The guy said he wants to kind of make it something like what iMovie is, but on the Linux side.
And they're looking for other applications to be developed with GStreamer, right?
Right, GStreamer. If you listen, did you listen to Lug Radio where they talked about it? GStreamer provides a kind of a layer. I guess we're saying it's kind of like pipes where you would have a decoder, like an AUG decoder, and you would just run the AUG file through the decoder instead of having to write your own.
Right. So the infrastructure is already built. You're just building your application.
Right, and you're just passing
through. You're just building the chain,
kind of like that, I guess. I don't know much about GStreamer. Because I just started playing around with it in PityV. I guess I got to learn more about this if I'm going to even attempt to use PityV right now. Which means that it's got a long way to go, I would suspect. yeah. What was I going to say? It was hinted on Lug Radio. The guy had said that GStreamer is looking to provide, I think, Windows Media and Real Player codecs. But they're not going to be free. It's going to be a license that you have to license the codecs.
What I was able to do,
which would make it legal for you to use, but you're going to have to pay for it.
I was able to rip a radio stream of a show using MPlayer and it encoded it to a Windows media file.
If you have the codecs, you can do that.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, man.
You can do that. You could do that with transcode, too, I think, if you have the right codecs.
I think you can, yeah.
And you can, like, I took an MPEG file and converted it, MPEG 2 converted it to QuickTime movie.
Because MPlayer, like, does everything, pretty much.
But the problem is, there's the whole legal issue of whether you can actually use the codecs if you haven't purchased them, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Link?
Sure.
Right.
Right.
And one of the issues that I had thought about, if GStreamer is going to release or license Windows or RealPlayer codecs, that's going to further discourage people from, you know, using
the open versions.
Using Theora or anything. Encode their stuff to Theora, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes.
Well, look at Ogg, man. How long has it taken Ogg to get onto a freaking, you know...
Forever.
Music player. And it's just barely getting into it now.
Right. But, I don't, you know, you figure these companies go out, they buy... what do they buy? They buy iMovie or any kind of whatever. Not iMovie, like... what's the big one? Not FrameMaker. Is it FrameMaker? Not FileMaker. Whatever the hell. And, you know, it can convert anything into a QuickTime movie. Or, you know, Windows utilities come with the ability to convert them into Windows Media Player files. They're not going to go and convert them into a Theora file. You know, sometimes they won't even use MPEG anymore. But that's the way it goes.
I was saying Adobe Premiere.
Yeah, Adobe Premiere. Final Cut Pro, that's it. Yeah, Final Cut Pro does a lot of...
That's the higher end video editor.
Maybe there's something higher above that. I don't know. I don't even know what formats Adobe Premiere. Oh, interesting thing. I watched a video streaming conference that Real Media put out. And then, of course, they called me the other day and they said, you know, you signed up. We just want to know what you thought about the conference. Would you be interested in hearing more about our products and everything? And I was like, you know, right now we're not really in the market looking for anything. We have some QuickTime streamers, servers over here. We're just starting to get into video streaming. And they're like, well, if you ever have any questions. So you know what I did? I asked them, I said, does your product support Theora, streaming Theora? And they're like, what? What's Theora?
Yeah.
I was like, well, it's built on the AUG format there. It uses the AUG as the encapsulation. Nah, I don't know anything. Vorbis? What's the sound for? Vorbis? Nah, I don't know. We support like over 30 codecs, but I don't know. I know we support Windows and QuickTime.
Well, you were just talking to some freaking marketing droid.
But none of your stuff.
Yeah. What's Theora?
You were just talking to some sales dickhead.
Right. So I don't expect that. You know, I thought I'd just try, you know, but I got nothing out of him. Nothing. Nothing but laughing in my face.
They just want your money, damn it.
That's right. I don't blame them. I want my money, too.
You should have told them that you would be interested in purchasing some of their products if they had Theora support.
Well, the odd thing is they're trying to sell me a Real Player, but then there's the Helix Project, which is the open version of Real Server and Real Player, and that supports Theora. So, you know.
I got a good story for you. I went into Circuit City today just check out what they had in there, and I was looking at some of the laptops, and the sales guy comes over to me and goes, oh, well, can I help you with something? I'm like, yeah, I'm just looking at a low-cost laptop. And they had this HP laptop that's on sale for like $650. So the guy starts going into the spiel about Windows software. I'm like, no, you know what? Well, let me stop it right there. If I buy this laptop, the very first thing I'm going to do is get rid of the Windows. And he was like taken aback. He was like, what do you mean get rid of the Windows?
What are you going to do?
I'm like, I'm going to put Linux on this.
Why would you get rid of Windows?
That's exactly what he said. So I explained to him, well, it's a better operating system. It's more secure. You don't get the viruses. You don't get the spyware. It's more stable. The tools for programming are much more robust. I don't have to spend five grand on software to do what I want to do. He's like, oh, really? And he kind of just, like, walked away.
So you didn't beat him over the head with an Opix CD?
No. I got to talk to the wife first. If she says it's okay, I'm going to go back with an Opix CD and maybe a damn small bootable and see what comes up. And the only question I had was the wireless card. Supposedly it's an Intel, the Intel 220, which is an internal 802.11bg. That's supposedly supporting Linux. So if I go in with an Opix and it comes up and I'm able to mod probe it and it works, and I might get it. It's a nice deal for $650. I need a laptop.
Shouldn't have sold yours.
Well, that was an old one, man. The one I had was an old Inspiron 7500 megahertz. I think weighed about 12 pounds. So this one's a little more reasonable. The HP, it's like 6 pounds.
Ask him if you could buy it without Windows.
I should.
You know, it's a good thing to do. Ask him, you know, go in there and say, before I buy this, I want to run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I do go back in there to get it, I'm going to tell him I want to try booting up a couple live CDs and see if it works, everything works in there.
Make sure you have sound and all that other
absolutely.
Stuff.
Everything works.
Everything but the wireless, integrated wireless. You said you looked at that already.
Everything except the modem.
Yeah. That's just a waste of space on all laptops.
Yeah, the wireless supposedly support it, but, you know, I'll do a mod probe if it doesn't come up and see if it works.
You know, it's funny when you go to the computer show, because I know Alan and Link like to buddy up and go to the computer show together.
They go on dates.
And not invite the rest of us, the pricks that they are.
Go buy each other a slice of pizza afterwards.
Every time we invite you, Dan, you don't come. So.
That's not true. I came the last time you invited me.
I've never been invited.
He came one time.
After that, I never got another invite. Maybe I did something wrong. But anyway, were you at the show? Were they walking around with a Linux shirt on at all again? They all stopped. They're like, oh, Linux, yeah. I run Red Hat.
No, man, there was like no... Sunday, we went Sunday afternoon, or actually Sunday morning, but there was like nobody there.
No, including the vendors, yeah.
Yeah.
Was Randy there?
No.
Randy Kramer or Randy Plesser?
Plesser.
Oh, your buddy.
Yeah.
A.K.A. the asshole.
Oh, jeez.
Only the hole.
Yeah. We've got to talk about his whole head.
So, I don't know. A lot of stuff about Linux on the desktop and its shortcomings this past couple of weeks. We've touched on some of those issues.
I think a lot of it is just... You can sum it up as a bunch of Windows whiners who don't want to learn anything. You know, I really don't think people are as stupid as some of that stuff sounds. You know what I mean? Oh, well, it's got to work the same under Linux as it does under Windows. No, it doesn't. It's not Windows, you know? Grab yourself by the seat of your pants and pull yourself back up into the reality and learn something new once in a while.
Most people too busy watching Jerry Springer and buying... Britney Spears CDs, you know?
See, that's where Link fails is because people don't want to learn. That's where that logic fails.
And you know, they get what they're stuck with then, you know?
Then we need to find that magic
dumpster.
When they
have to spend, you know, $150
yeah,
an hour
I'm definitely
for
looking for that one.
Fix their computer, they'll have to pay it.
You hear all these stories about people, you know, dumping machines because, you know, the Windows isn't working anymore.
I almost had one. I couldn't do it.
Anybody that wants to do that can dump it right on my doorstep. I'll take them.
It was so close. My wife's friend brought one over, and he's like, oh, it doesn't work. So I finally got it up and running, but it really needs to be wiped out because there's so much crap on it. But she didn't have the install disk. Right. And I'm like, well, it's going to cost you a couple $100 to go out and buy a Windows disk. I said, oh, should I go buy a new one? I'm like, oh, man, you know.
Do I help her out or do I keep my mouth shut and get a free computer?
I was like, yeah, if you weren't a family friend there, you know, I'd have gotten a 2.4 gig machine.
Well, if I do get that laptop, man, as an experiment, what we could do is we can maybe go on the Internet, say like a Panera or something, and see how long it takes for it to get infected before wiping out Windows.
Yeah, but how can you? Sometimes you can't even tell, you know?
Well, what you do is you run it for a while, and then you install, like, you know, SpyBot Search and Destroy, and you'll see all these, you know, spyware that's on there.
Here's something for you guys, right? Here's a question for all you guys. Are you really convinced that all of these programs that do all this spyware detection and stuff like that are actually truthful about it?
Oh, I believe everything that comes across.
You don't believe not Microsoft?
A Windows machine. Well, SpyBot's not Microsoft.
I know. It's a third party.
I think, my personal opinion is, I think based upon the fact that I...
You know what I mean? Like,
SpyBot...
Sometimes I often think that Symantec virus writers.
Boy, that was butchered all to hell. So let me think. You said that you often think that Symantec is probably in cahoots with the virus writers. General gist, correct?
Right.
I mean, I'm
not utterly convinced that that's not true. Sometimes.
It wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't true, you know?
I'm not. It's probable. But, you know, we say that and they're like, "Ooh, your bad tech come down on your ass for that." And it's.
No, it's just it's a view. It's not, you know, we're not going around screaming it and hanging it on billboards or anything.
Not yet, but wait until the show's over.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, it's. I think that the way. It's probably more probable that Windows has turned, or Microsoft has turned, looked the other way when it comes to fixing a lot of those holes that would resolve these problems so that they can help keep those companies in business. I mean, that's a probability, too.
You never know.
Scratching each other's back. Well, now they're trying to muscle in on the antivirus market, too. They got to do something. You know, I got a problem and a question.
No, but you know what I mean? I bet if you had a brand new machine and you put, like, AVG on it or something like that, it would find something, you know?
Actually, I had a brand new machine and I put AVG on it and it didn't find anything.
AVG,
but SpyBot did.
SpyBot found, like, Alexis within, like, five minutes.
SpyBot did. Jeez.
Yeah. SpyBot.
Or, excuse me, Adaware found Alexis. SpyBot didn't find it, but.
So. Speaking of spyware.
And that's because I had to use Internet Explorer to get the upgrades. Honestly, I had to run Internet Explorer long enough to get the upgrades. And the 99 reboots.
Spyware. Weatherbug apparently isn't spyware. According to Weatherbug's website. And I know this because after sitting in an administrator meeting and telling everybody we got to make sure that nobody's using Weatherbug because it's... It wreaks havoc on the machines and downloads spyware, and it's a mess. I got an email from my supervisor. Weatherbug is promoting a program called Weatherbug Achieve, which is geared towards academic institutions, and they have statistical evidence that using Weatherbug Achieves improves scores in science and other areas. A Weatherbug Achieve is what they do is they give you...
what a crock of shit.
Well, they don't give you, but you enter into this program, and you get, like, weather... monitoring equipment, and you set up a server, and then everybody's client, because as they say it's browser based, can look at, you know, monitor the weather as it's going on in your area, you know, and it helps improve scores and everything. So, you know, my supervisor sent me saying this is something they're interested in doing. You had mentioned before that Weatherbug is spyware, so I go out looking at this stuff, and according to Weatherbug's website, they are not spyware.
No, they're adware.
But they don't install, they say that their adware, in as much as their product does have an ad in it. Now, apparently, during the install, because there's a great, you know, if you do Weatherbug spyware, there's some great references on there that say, in addition to getting Weatherbug, if you're not careful and read the install completely, it installs like a Google type or a Yahoo type search bar, which integrates itself into Internet Explorer and will start delivering you ads to your desktop, even if Internet Explorer is not open.
Yeah, but I think that's it's optional, but you have to look for it, yeah.
It is optional, but that gets included. But Weatherbug stands behind their product and says it is not spyware. And I'd like to hear differing opinions if that's the case.
I don't think it's spyware. I do, however, notice that on my network at work, I have to keep a close eye on people running WeatherBug because they tend to hog the internet. You know, it pulls and checks and grabs ads and crap like that and hijacks their machine. Sometimes to the point where, you know, the machine is almost not usable anymore.
It eats up
and
all the IP.
If you combine that with something like the Yahoo toolbar or something, you're just done.
Dead in the water, huh?
Eat up all your IP.
Now, I found Fire Forecast Fox to be very valuable if I want to look at weather. And that integrates very nicely into the Firefox
Nepis
browser.
Has a KDE plugin so that you can have the weather on your desktop the whole time, and it's very, very low CPU intensive.
Yeah, but I don't run KDE, so that ain't going to work for me.
La-di-da.
Yeah, woo, 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 woo. See, there's Forecast Fox right there.
Yep, and I run 8 desklets and Weather Forecast 0.2.0.
That's the way it goes. At these rock and roll shows. We're running out of time here.
The only thing I used to hate about WeatherBug, because I used to work night shifts, and everybody would leave their PC on, and, you know, the storm would come through, and all over the building you would hear that freaking chirping sound. You couldn't, you know, because, you know, whenever the alerts came in, the chirping would start. And it would be different on all the machines because, you know, whenever they pulled and got it, and then it would be like every 5 minutes that little freaking cricket would go off.
And it's annoying, too, when you start up a machine and WeatherBug comes on. You're just like, come on, I want the desktop, not this freaking big application starts up. WeatherBug.
Yep.
Hate it. So you might have to live with it because of their...
The damn crickets. All oh, those things are annoying.
And you know what's going to happen? We're going to get this thing in. They're going to want to do it, and it's going to require a Windows server running IIS.
You got to upgrade, man. Buy new hardware. Buy more software.
Why can't everything just run Apache?
It's a vicious circle. Apache's great, man. Fantastic software.
It is. I'm
PHP, Webalizer, all great stuff, man.
I wonder if when Vista comes out, whether it's going to people are going to run to Vista, or is it going to be a time for change?
We can only plug away, man.
Vista, because everybody's going to be wanting to jump off of it.
Yeah. Hasta la vista, baby.
Link's we're going to be running Vista, right, Link? Silence means consensus.
Link doesn't even know what Vista is.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Do you know what Vista is? He knows what it is.
It's Longhorn.
Yes, but you've gotten used to it.
Natural Overlook.
Yeah, natural overlook.
Because when you run it, you're going to be wanting to jump off of it.
Yeah, you mean Vista, the second beta test of Windows Longhorn.
Yep.
Yeah, that they had to rename just because they baited the first one for so freaking long and they couldn't get it to work.
Yeah. 2007, right?
I'm curious to see what it's actually going to look like. For shits and giggles, I'll take a look when it comes out.
It's going to look like XP.
Probably.
I was just saying, it's going to have a gigantic Fisher-Price interface on it. You know?
Different colors.
And some translucency.
I don't know. I'm thinking in 2007 they're going to change the name again and put out another beta.
Yeah. And at that point, Debian 3.2 will be out.
We like Debian. I run it.
And Fedora Core 32 by then.
Yes.
They pump those out like every other month, though. They get a new core.
And Ubuntu Sledge Whore or something.
Sledge. Ubuntu. Worry.
Sledge Whore.
Sledge Whore.
Hedgehog of Porn.
Frozen Waste from Tundra. Ooh, Slackware 10. It will be, what, Slackware 11 by then. Maybe. How's your Slackware running, Link?
Never better!
Running like a top, man.
Well, we got to wrap it up, B, because we're getting off, cut off in rev, so...
And the OG listeners will get the bonus material, yeah. But the MP3 people won't.
So, thank you very much for listening, people on Bin Rev.
Good night, Bin Rev.
They're gone, now we can talk about other things.
Good night, everybody.
We'll close things up here. Any last comments?
Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Go you, Alan.
We come to the end of the show, and I don't even have a song geared up yet.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You're not going to play that song you played for us before.
Oh, that song. No.
Play it.
You want me to play that song?
What the hell?
This is.
Nah, Dan's got a song that is perfect for him.
Alright, if I play this song because you guys want it, I don't know if we really have permission to play. It's a gamble.
Where would you get it?
I got it off of the Infonomicon podcast.
You should be alright. I could sue them first.
I know the band hasn't released the album yet with this on it. So, I don't know if we'd be promoting them illegally or what. What do you think, Link?
Well, if you talk over the beginning of it, that way no one can record it.
Talk over the beginning. Why don't I play something?
I have no idea, man.
I'll play something we have permission to play. Should I play that Straight Outta Compton again?
Yeah, play Straight Outta Compton.
This is not safe for work either. But everybody loves it. Well, thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. And we'll see you next week. And hopefully we'll have a full house next week. And maybe even a guest or two.
Hey, yeah, maybe I'll have power.
Yeah, maybe you will. Straight Outta Compton. Can you hear that, Link?
No, you won't be able to hear it.
Nope. Well, you can just keep talking then.
Squeeze the trigger and bodies are hollow. You two, boy, if you fuck with me, police are gonna have to come and get me.
WA on the tech show.
That's how I'm going out. For the punk motherfuckers are chilling. Niggas start to mumble, they want to rumble, mix them and cook them up in a pot like gumbo. Going off on a motherfucker like that with a gap that's pointed at your
eyes. I love this song.
Do you like the version?
Yeah.
There's something funny about a white chick singing this song. Rap,
keep you dancing with a crime record like Charles Lenz and my AK. 47 is a tool. Don't make me act a motherfucking fool. Maybe you can go toe to toe to. Maybe I'm knocking niggas out the box daily. Yeah, we're monthly and yearly. And to them dumb motherfuckers, see clearly that I'm down with a capital C. You can't fuck with me. So when I'm in the neighborhood, Ice Cube is crazy as fuck. As I leave,
so did any of you guys over there happen to record the chat log?
Now I just got to remember how to export it out of. Oh wait.
Coming straight out of Compton.
IRS. What's the one I always use?
IRSSI.
Alrighty then.